tells us, Echad Tzar Odom, Echad Tzar Behemoth, Echad Tzar Tehillim, Yisrael Nisum Yomitit and Korah. The mitzvah of Yomitit and Korah, and for that matter, the Isser of Baal Tolan and Lesovel of Hashemeth, is not limited specifically to workers, to Tehillim, but it applies to any type of tzirus, any type of rental. Now, someone pointed out last week that a common mitzvah is people will hire a contractor to redo their kitchen. And when the job is done and the contractor comes to be paid, you know good and well that if you write out a check for the full amount, you may never see this contractor again. You'll find something go wrong. You'll call them, you'll chase them for days, for weeks. So what do? You withhold some money. And that way, he's going to be a lot more responsive if there are any issues. Now, this is a wonderful negotiating tactic. It's very effective. It's also a lav d'oraisa. Because he did the job, he's entitled to get paid, and there's no heter in Baal Tolan to withhold it. Now, based on this mishnah...
What happened
to the second 3 parts of the job is not completely done. It was clear in the Gemara. That ain't serious, Mithalem Mithalelubsoit. You don't pay for a job until it's completely finished. If there's anything missing, Hafi Halacha, you don't have to pay him a penny. Now, there may be a minhag to make payments as you go along, and if there's a minhag, you'll have to follow that minhag. But as far as Baal Tolan is concerned, there certainly would not be Baal Tolan if the job is not completed. But assuming it's done, and you're just going to hold back because maybe tomorrow you'll notice something, that's where the issue is. If there's a clear minhag that everyone holds back, then you're right. Minhag mevatel halacha, and that minhag would be binding. If it's not a clear minhag, or if the amount is not clear, then you can't. Then you would have to follow the halacha. It's only when there's a very clear minhag, which is very widespread, that you'd be able to be oikar the halacha and be able to ignore a potential baal tolan. But you are right. If it's across the board, everyone does it, and everyone takes out a certain amount, you'd be able to follow that minhag. Now, based on this mishnah, we seem to have a very good idea, a way to avoid the problem. The fellow comes, the contractor comes to you, and the bill is $20,000. The kitchen itself, the cabinets, the wood, was $15,000, and it was $5,000 of labor. So what do? You write out a check for $5,000, or $15,000, and you tell him, listen, the first $5,000 I'm paying you goes to the labor, and you're paid up. The rest of the money I'm paying you is going to go to the cabinet, to the kitchen. Now, when I'm paying for the cabinet, is that serious toiling? That's not serious toiling. The person, a contractor did two things. He did work, there was labor, and that the bill was $5,000. He also provided $15,000 worth of cabinet. That's not serious toiling. That's mekakumemka. He's selling me the cabinet. And therefore, if I don't pay bizmanai for that, there's no baal tolan. So therefore, to avoid baal tolan, if you pay part of the money, you say, listen, this should go. I'm paying up all of the labor, and what I'm withholding is monies that I owe you for the part, for the mekach u'memka. Then there wouldn't be baal tolan. And this seems to be a wonderful answer. Now, this only works if your contractor is not part of the kavura. If he's here this morning, then what's he going to do? He's going to turn around and say, nothing doing. I'm taking this money that you're paying me, and I'm putting it towards the cabinet, towards the mekach u'memka. And the money that you held back, that's for my wages. There's baal tolan, you have to pay me immediately. So what happens now? We have a stalemate. The buyer, the owner is saying, I'm paying you for your labor, and the laborer is saying, I'm taking this for the mekach u'memka. Now, there's a similar sila in Siman Pei Gimel and Siman Nun Ches. When you borrow money, a person has two debts, one secured, one unsecured. There the halacha is, the malva gets to choose. If you pay one debt, even the one has a star, one doesn't, the malva, the creditor, can decide which debt to take this for. And therefore, the halacha is by toilim as well. If the poyel, who is the creditor, he's the one that's owed the money, he would have the right to choose. And he would be able to say, I'm taking this money towards the Mechas Lumemka, and if you do not pay in full, there will be an Isser Baal Talim. Even more because the Ksois in Simon Sinvav, the end of Siskot and Gimel, says that even if no one says anything, you just pay without discussing it, we automatically credit the payment towards the Mechas Lumemka, and we say Baal Talim will apply until he's paid in full. So at the end of the day, if you pay, and you say it's for the labor and the person agrees, you avoid it, Baal Talim. But if you just don't say anything, or if the worker says specifically, I'm taking this money for the Mechas Lumemka, Baal Talim will still apply, and this Eitzo will not work. Now, Okay, so that's not just Baal Talim, that's Oisik also, that's five lavin instead of one. Well, it's called extortion. It's not called mechila. So that mechila wouldn't. I mean, you can pull out a gun and begin to be Michael also. That's not going to save you from Baal Talim. So now, let's move on. What we discussed until now was when you have two bills, one for Mechas Lumemkar and one for Suras Pilot. So there the halacha is, if you have a choice, you only have enough money to pay for one of them, you pay for the pile first, because that chiyuv is more chomer. If you do not pay him, you'll be under Baal Talim. If you don't pay other creditors, it's an avla, but the issur d'oraisa will not apply. And therefore, if you have enough money to pay only some creditors, the workers come first. Now, unfortunately, this recently has become very lamaisa. There was a moisted recently that collapsed under a tremendous amount of debt, and they had a huge amount of creditors, but they kept on going, they kept on operating, and they kept on paying the salaries. And one of the questions people had is, how can we be paying salaries who said the workers come first? The answer is, again, this mishnah, this sugya. If you have workers, you have different debts, the workers always get paid first because to them there's a chiyuv of Baal Talim. To other debtors, other creditors, there is no chiyuv of Baal Talim. Now what happens if you have two workers and you don't have enough money to pay both of them? What do you do? So here the Chafetz Chaim says that both of them have equal claims. Therefore, they're entitled to split the money. And you have to do, if there are three workers, you divide whatever assets you have, whatever money you have available, you divide it into three, and you pay each of them a third. Dr. Chavetz Chaim, let's say one of these workers is your cousin, he's a parent, or for that matter, he's an old friend, and you want him to get paid first. Dr. Chavetz Chaim, if you do that, you're right for Baal Talim. Each worker has an equal claim to the money, and if you go ahead and you start playing favors, you start paying this person before that person, you're depriving some of the workers from money they're entitled to, and the Isser Baal Talim will apply. Oh, very good. Let me get back to that in a minute. We'll discuss that in a minute. What happens is you hire a worker, and he does a job for you. Comes the end of the day, the end of the week, he's entitled to his salary, and for some reason you don't pay him. Either he doesn't ask, you didn't have it, you're either about telling, you weren't either about telling, whatever the story is. The next day, you hire another worker. At the end of the day, when this worker finishes, both workers come to you at the same time and ask to be paid. So you have one worker that did the job today, and you have another worker that's owed money from the day before. Who gets paid first? Very good. You have to pay today's worker before yesterday's. Because today's worker, there's a chiyuv of Baal Talim. If you don't pay immediately, you're going to be over in this. Yesterday's worker, you should have been paid, there's Baal Tisha at most, but Baal Talim doesn't apply, and therefore you pay today's worker. That's true. Either he was over, or maybe there was a story then. Maybe he didn't ask. There are many cases where you're not over. But regardless, today, by not paying him, you're not going to be over the issur again, and therefore, Baal Talim would not apply. So that's halacha when all things are equal. One was yesterday, one was today. What happens in a case, and this is, unfortunately was also a ma'aseh shehayah, a yeshiva fell upon hard times. They realized they weren't able to pay all of their mates to cover the entire payroll. And now they have a question, who do they pay first? How do they divide the limited resources they have? So it's clear, workers come before vendors. One has Baltal and one doesn't. But what happens between workers? What happens if you have some workers that are paid a higher salary, and some workers that are paid a lower salary? Do you just take the money and divide it equally? Or does it go in proportion to the amount that you're owed? Now, in truth, this shaila is really a shaila in Siman Kuf Daled. It's a shaila by every time there a person has creditors. A person declares bankruptcy. He has a bunch of creditors. How do you divide the assets? Do you just divide it equally? There are 10 creditors. You take all the assets, divide it in 10, and give each an equal share. Or do you take the total debt and you divide it proportionally? A creditor that's owed half the debt will get half the assets. Now, this is the machlokes in Siman Kuf Daled. La halacha, the strict halacha, most places can paskin that you divide it equally. If there are 10 creditors, you divide the assets in 10, and everyone gets an equal share. Now, obviously, if you're owed, you can't get more than you're owed. But assuming everyone is owed everyone will get an equal amount until their full debt is paid off. Anything above that will go back into the pot. And that is halacha in Siman Kuf Daled. That is maskana. There is a sita that argues, there is a sita that says you go proportionally, that a bigger creditor is entitled to more of the assets. Many places can say that the minhag is to follow this sita. So that although strictly the halakha we divide it equally, there's a minhag today in many places to do proportionally. You add up the total debt, and each creditor gets the percentage of the assets corresponding to the amount of debt that he's owed.
How about if one creditor loan 10 different loans?
That's a good question. It'll depend on whether it's one star or two stars. That's a sugya in Siman Kuf Daled. Okay, we're getting there. So based on this halacha, it would seem that if you go with the strict halacha, then the higher paid rebbeim or workers will get paid more. The ones that are paid less will get paid lower. Again, it's not the strict halacha, but that seems to be the minhag, at least when it comes to Balei Klozet. Over here, there's another factor we have to deal with, and that is the Gemara that we learned today. What did we learn today? That if there are two workers, one is an ani and one is an usher, one of them is poor and one of them is wealthy, what's the halacha? Who comes first? The ani. The poor person comes first. So it would come out that if you have a bunch of workers and you can't afford to pay all of them, you have to go ahead and you have to start determining how well-to-do each one is. An ani would come before an usher, and before an evyon. An evyon would come after an ani, but before an usher. That was the word that we had today. So that would seem to be the maskana. You'd have to look around. You'd have to take the employees, see how well-to-do they are, whether they have savings, whether they have money on the side, and those would get paid less. Now, if we follow this halacha, it would be a very, very interesting halacha l'maisa. Someone declares bankruptcy. Now, normally when you declare bankruptcy, what happens? The creditors are busy subpoenaing all the documents. They want to go through all the records to see where the money went. The guy does have money. He doesn't have money. He's hiding assets. Based on this Gemara scenes, we can turn the table. The debtor can tell the creditors, listen, I have 10 creditors. I have to figure out who comes first. The only way to figure out who comes first is to figure out who's an ani and who's an usher. So the Baal Choyim sees that he's going subpoenaing the creditor's records to see who's an usher, who's an ani, to figure out who to pay first. Now this obviously sounds very strange. Now the truth is, halacha, there's Birkei Yosef, brings out a Saint Moshe, it says this is halacha l'maisa. Whenever a person goes bust, and there are a bunch of creditors, the aniyim get paid first. This is a tremendous chiddush. We don't find it brought down in halacha anywhere else, and it does not seem to be the minhag. And the reason, perhaps, why Batei Din are not really like this is based on another Chavetz Chaim that we saw this morning. Chavetz Chaim declares the following title. The Gemara that says that an ani comes before an usher is talking about Baal Talmud. Now, as we mentioned many times, If you owe money, you've got to pay. Doesn't matter whether it's a worker or mekahumemka or a halva. You have a debt, it's got to be paid. Baltoin is a special chumrah that when it comes to workers, the Torah has a special kpeda, pay them immediately. The yoyimoy kitim chora, a special chumrah that applies to payolim, it applies to spheres, it doesn't apply to other things. Chavos Chaim declares, this halacha, that an ani comes before an usher, if there are two workers, then you pay the ani first. Does that apply across the board? Or is that only hilchus kadima? In other words, I'm going to pay everyone. But right now, I only have a cash for one. There, the halacha is, I pay the ani, the usher can wait till tomorrow, no one's starving, everything will be okay. Masha ain't paying in a case where I'll never be able to pay the rest of it. I only have enough money for one, and I'm not expecting to get money in the future. And that case, Chavos Chaim says, who's Mecha Teza that the usher has to lose out? And he says it's not just that you don't put Chavos Chaim speaks out. If two people lend money, are you going to say the wealthier Malva, the wealthier creditor, loses out to the poorer ones? Avadanah. And therefore the Chavos Chaim is mitzadik, he says, perhaps this is only in Hilchos Kedima. At the end of the day, everyone will get paid. We have a question of who to pay first. Ma'aseh Ein Kein, if some of the people will not get paid, the Chavos Chaim says perhaps that Hilchos Kedima does not apply, and everyone has an equal claim, the money has to be divided equally. The Chavos Chaim is not Machriya, but Zivim Al-Tio is Machriya, and he says as a matter of halacha, the kedima applies only when everyone will get paid at the end of the day. So therefore, going back to our case of yeshiva, it depends how much of an optimist you are. If you believe this is a temporary crisis, but over time they'll be able to recover the money, everyone will get paid back, then the Chavetz Chaim and the Divrei Machil say, then Hilchos Kedima applies. However, if you're ready to give up, and you know once there's a deficit, once they owe money, halavai they'll be able to cover future payrolls, but they're not going to be able to go back and pay up for the old falichoyvos, then the Divrei Machil says these halachos of kedima do not apply, and an ani and an usher will both be treated the same. That's what difficult call. That's what people go to Dinei Torah over. Okay, let's move on. The Mishnah tells us that Bal Tolin is not limited to Sefirot Poilim. It applies to leases as well. The Mishnah's examples are cases of Metaltolin, Schar Behema, or Schar Kalim. The question is, what about Kasha? A person leases real estate, is there a Chi of Bal Tolin? Does the Yom Titin Schari apply? Now, as we saw, the Sita Mekubetza springs down from a Ramah that has a drasha of Ba'artzicha that says, Mi'utik HaKoyz, that real estate is not subject to Bal Tolin. Now, again, it doesn't mean that if the tenants and monkeys don't have to pay their rent. Of course they do. But this extra chumra of Bal Tolin will not apply to leases. Lamaisa brought down the Mechaber of the Yeshayimrim, and the Goyin points out, and the Tzoyis and the Tzar Misra all point out, there's a Mefurz of Tayyos Kayanim, it has another drasha. It says, Solon Tuo Socher Itzcha, and the Darshan Itzcha means anything which is by you, whether it's Metazlin, whether it's Karka, everything will be subject to Bal Tolin. Lahalacha, the place where all Machmir, it's Shabbat Daraisa. The Tzoyis adds, even if Karka might be a little bit of a suffix, when you're renting a house you know, is something which you took wood, you took stones, you took materials, and you attach it to the ground, it's tolish l'tzai. So in that case, everyone would agree you have to be kosher l'chumra, and Bal Tolin will apply to a renter. The question is, when does Bal Tolin apply for rent? So what's that law normally? If you lease a house for a year, when's the rent due al-fi halacha? At the end of the year. Wonderful. So we pointed out in the Taj Beis, then even if you rent it for a year, if you agree that you're going to pay monthly, Bal Tolin will apply every month. The problem is, You agreed to pay monthly. That means, as far as Valtollum is concerned, we'll look at it as 12 consecutive leases for 1 month apiece. But when is it due? If you rent the house for a month, when's the rent due? At the end of the month. When do people pay rent today? In the beginning of the month. So, is there Valtollum? So, interestingly enough, there are three different opinions. Rav Palm has a tshuva in Hamasifta, Tavshin Mem Hei, in which he brings down from his son brought a raya from a sifra, actually in Parshas Bahar, that if you agree to pay in the beginning of the month, Valtollum will apply in the beginning of the month. Now Rav Palm points out that again, if the Yesh Meforshim in the sifra, even then the Malvim and other Meforshim clearly argue on this Mahalach. Again, we're not going to go through what the Lashon of Sifra is. But to say this is a tremendous tip. Because if an Afi HaLacha, when you lease a house, if the rent is due at the end of the month, it's true the parties can negotiate whatever they want, and they can agree to pay it at a different time. But just like we saw, that by Sukkah Zitzura, if the parties agree that I'm going to work today and you're going to pay me next week, that artificial payday, the Gemara says clearly there's no Valtollum. So Al-Kisvara would seem also that if we make an artificial payday before the rent is done, there shouldn't be Valtollum either. Oh, the question is, what at the end of the month? So some place can say, and I haven't seen this Sikhsav, but if someone, a chaver of mine, spoke to Diane's sister, he said there's no Valtollum at all. Because once the parties agreed to rip off we're going to ignore the regular chiyuvim of the Torah and we're going to change the date, the last day of the month is nothing. And therefore we said across the board, Valtollum will not apply. Most Paiskim take the middle road. And most Paiskim say that although you agreed to pay in the beginning of the month, Valtollum will kick in if you do not pay by the last day of the month. And therefore, as we look at Ein Sfiras Mithalel Shel Abzayis, we look at what your real chiyuvim al pi Torah are, and that is what will follow. And this is the Mishnah in Sfiras and Siman Ayin Ches. Sif Aleph is not like this as well, and this seems to be the consensus of most Paiskim. So therefore, if a person owes rent, again, he may have signed a contract that he has to pay the first of the month. He has a 10-day grace period, but as far as Valtollum is concerned, he'll have until the end of the month. Now, for technical reasons, he'll usually have longer. Why? Right. There's a halakha which most people will learn next week, that if you get a maskin, if you give collateral, then according to some paiskim, again, we'll discuss different pieces next week, but according to some paiskim, there's no Valtollum. When a person moves into a house, he typically gives a security deposit, which means 1 month's rent, the landlord has a maskin. And therefore, even if you're a full month late, the landlord has a maskin on that month's rent, and there wouldn't be Valtollum. However, if you're 2 months late, you've already eaten through the security deposit, then you'll run into a problem. Also, if you're in the apartment for a few years, security deposit in many places is 1 month's rent. The next year, if your rent gets raised, the maskin doesn't cover the full amount of the rent, and you'll have Valtollum after the first month. But I'll call upon him the first of the month, the tenth of the month, according to the vast majority of sheets, there will not be Valtollum.
Does the grace period make a difference? The fact that you have 10-day grace, does that invalidate the need to pay up the
unregistered? So that's a big machlokes landlord's intent. What is the time of grace period? Is the time of grace period that is not due until the tenth? Okay, then we can start clearing. Maybe it's like Sukkah Zitzura, where I gave you a range of days. Landlords don't hold that's what it means. When it's due the first, it's due the first. There's a grace period. They're not going to evict you or hit you with a penalty if you pay within 10 days. They'll give you a little breathing room. But it's due the first. And if that's the case, the fact that they'll be kind enough not to start hitting you with penalties for another 10 days won't change this halakha. Now this brings us to an interesting silo, which is more of an achronis silo. There's a sefer that brought down the same Chavetz Chaim, a story that he was traveling once with his son on a wagon. And the wagon driver, as soon as they got into the wagon to travel to the other city, wanted to get paid immediately. He just didn't trust the Chafetz, didn't know who the Chafetz Chaim was, and he was afraid, and he drove to the city, and then he asked for the pay. The person would just jump out of the wagon, and he'd never get paid. So it brought down the Chafetz Chaim was machbid not to pay. Why? Because someone's driving you to a city. Yomitzis and Sari, you have a fee of Yomitzis and Sari to pay in this money. When is the money due? It's due when he finishes the job, when he gets to the destination. So the question is, if I pay before I leave, so I'm a kai in the midst of the Yomitzis and Sari. If the issue of Yomitzis and Sari is the day that the fee, or when the fee of his child, when I owe the money, I pay it, then I'm a kai in the midst of. And perhaps, if I prepay, I pay before I get there, the chiyuv was never there, there's no biyar mitzitin tzara. And this person says, oh, Rishayim Chavetz Chaim, as halacha l'maisa, you're not makayim the mitzvah. Now, obviously, there's a, this Rebbe Tom's rise from the Sifra is against it, because he said that even by every lease, if you agree to pay in the first of the month, you'll have also only makayim the mitzvah. Now, the maisa, many have tried to argue. And they say, the mitzvah of biyar mitzitin tzara is, make sure he gets paid on time. If you pay him before you leave, it's true. When you hand him the money, it's not yet his man chiyuva. But when he gets there, and he gets to the destination, and that's when you owe him the money, he has the money in his pocket, at that point, you're makayim biyar mitzitin tzara. You made sure he was paid on time. And therefore, Rav Chaim Kanievsky and the Shulchan Aruch Hagadah has a similar tshuva as well. Both say you are makayim the mitzvah, and there's no reason not to pay earlier. Now a third approach, a little bit of a yeshiva she'esa, what some people like doing is if the person insists on getting paid on time, they give the person the money and say, "Here, I'm giving you this money, but I'm not paying you. Hold on to it as a pikadon, hold on to it, just hold on to it as security until you finish the job. At that point, you take it as payment." And that way the worker's happy because he has the money in his pocket, he has his security right away. And you avoid this issue because he's not kainit, he's not zoichin, it's tashlumin is only later, and at that point it's pashut, there would be a mitzvah, you'd be makai in the mitzvah of biyar mitzitin tzara. If he makes it to tonight, you're enachanami, you couldn't. If he makes it to tonight, then you can't, unless you tell him it's a halva, but you're right, enachanami. Now, the Mishnah makes it very, talks says that a Ger Tzayzov does not have the laws, but it does have the mitzvah of Yom HaTitin Tzara. The Sefer HaChinuch brings down in the Rambam that this applies to a Goy as well. And Akam does not have the Yisurim of L'Savar L'Avashemesh, but the mitzvah of Yom HaTitin Tzara applies. Now, L'mayis of the Achoyim are Matmiya, our Gemara is Kamat Mufurish, Me'achecho Prat L'Achirim. The Gemara is Marda of Geratorisov, but according to Kamat, all the other Rishonim and Achroinim, a Goy does not have any of the mitzvahs or the Surah of Yom HaTitin Tzara. Now again, it doesn't mean that you can go ahead and stiff a Goy. It's very often an issue of Chilul Hashem. But what it means is simply this extra severity that the Torah deals with workers, that a worker comes first online. He's treated and he has kedima before any other types of vendors, any other kinds of debt. And there's a special mitzvah to drop everything that you're doing and make sure that a worker gets paid on time. This chumrah applies only by Yisrael. But by an akum, according to Roiv Deyas, this extra level of chumrah will not apply. Now, this is as a general observation, the Chacham Tzvi and Siman Chavav, in explaining many of the areas of Chodesh Nimitz, but how they relate to Goyim, he explains like this. Most of these Surim Ben Odom HaChaver that we have, you're not allowed to steal. The reason why you're not allowed to steal is not so much that if you steal, someone else doesn't won't have money. The Torah is more concerned with you. If you steal, you're doing something wrong. It's a corruption of your midah. It's for yourself. Therefore, Zakach Chamsi, any time you're doing something wrong, it doesn't make a difference whether the victim is going to be a yid or the victim is going to be a goy. If stealing is wrong, if something you're doing an avla, then you can't do it regardless of who the victim is. If lying, dinei das, whatever it may be, is wrong, then it matters not who the victim is. You have an issur to do it. My thinking, there are other mitzvahs ben adam chaver that we find where there are a mitzvah to do chesed is doing chesed. There's an issue of ribbon. Is there anything technically wrong with charging interest? No. Chaim Rosen says that if you charge interest, technically speaking, it's a chesed. A reasonable rate, you're a person's able to go into business. Before Ma'an Torah, he says it was a chesed. Elamai, the Torah says, between two yidden, there's a mitzvah from chesed talpa, you have to do a chesed to another yid, and you can't charge him interest. If you're dealing with a goy, this doesn't apply. A goy can charge you interest, you can charge a goy interest. This nimishurus adin, this chiyuv to do chesed, applies only to Yisro. And therefore, when you deal with Baltolin, it's not a question of stealing from somebody, it's not a question of doing an avla. It's a special sensitivity of the ilus when they say to put them ahead of everybody else, and that's why, according to most of the poskim, it will apply to Yisro and not to a guy. Now, at this point, I'd just like to open up if anyone has any questions.
Okay, I think it can deal with which is a very common issue, let's say, license issues. Where if they were to pay the rabbis before the vendors, which according to what you said before, the obviously they have appears to do, so the chief effectively will close that immediately because there will be no supplies, there'll be no electricity, no food or anything, and they'll be closed tomorrow, and thereby there will be no future for the rabbis as well. My saying came, if they pay the vendors, they can keep the chief going, and they can deal with that until the daily occurrence.
Okay, so let me expand your question. Paying a worker on time, there's a mitzvah tasei b'yemitzit in scharos, and there's a lav d'oraisa. What happens if a person is faced with a situation where by paying a worker on time, he'll have a hefset? If his workers have to wait a few days, they'll come in. They need the job. If he doesn't pay his electric, his mortgage, they'll foreclose on his house. So how much of a hefset are you mechuyev to lose to Mekayim LeMitzvah? Now, why don't you ask the same question about Chazer? How much of a hefset does a person have to lose before he eats Chazer or a cheeseburger? What? And Loisolim Tula Sokar is Chai Breaker is also alive. Kolomayna. So Lechoyer to come out, whatever the hefset is. Now, it's not quite as simple. But to understand the answer to that, there's one more Gemara we have to do next week. We'll have to wait on that one. A penalty of a late payment fee?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, again, this is not a share in Uncle's Ribbis, but a one-time fee is okay, provided that the debt it's a rental or a mekach u'memkar. On a loan, any fee is a problem. On a rental, because it's one time, you're late, you pay $50, that's okay. It cannot accrue. It can't be every month late, it's 1.5%, or $50 for every 30 days. But if it's one time and doesn't accrue, you will not have a ribbon problem. No, well, at the end, when he finishes the job, I'll be on law for that when it's due. If at that point you pay the full balance, you're kind of missing the Yomitzit and Skoros. Even the Chavetz Chaim's case would only be if you pay completely up front. Because then, when it was never done, there was never a chiyuv. But in this case, where there still is a balance due, you see, okay, this is a good point to bring out. There's a mitzvah of Yomitzit and Skoros. The mitzvah, is there a difference in the mitzvah between hiring someone to do a $5 job or a $50,000 job? No, it's one mitzvah. Whatever you owe, that's what you should pay. I once gave a shiur on Baltolin, and afterwards, it was at Imlavimach, afterwards a couple came over to me and said, I'm causing Shalom Bayis problems. Shalom Bayis problems. So they explained that they were fighting over whether they should redo their kitchen for years. So after this shiur, his wife came over to me and said, listen, you put on filler and you're down. You have all sorts of mitzvahs. I don't have nearly as many mitzvahs. What I heard tonight is I have an opportunity. If we redo the kitchen, I have an opportunity to miss the other kitchen cars. So I told them, everyone's leaving. So I told them, she's right. It's an opportunity to do a mitzvah. But but, that's a big but. This mitzvah, there's no hinder to do a $50,000 job. If you go ahead and you hire someone to do a $10 job and you pay them on time, it's the same mitzvah. So as long as at the end of the job there's a balance due and you pay it, that's the only teaching. Sorry, mahajim and mahajim. You don't have to not pay any part of it because of the decision. Yes. So the sense is clearly, if I only pay him partially, there's still a balance due over the issue. The point is like this. You're only over, and this is what we're going to see in the Gemara next week. You're only over if you have money and you don't pay. If this money, I'll pay halacha, half goes to him and half goes to him, you're not over anything. Because you've done everything that I'll pay your mukuyu to do. It's when I have enough, and I go ahead and this one's my cousin, I give him all of it, then half of that money that should have been earmarked I'll pay halacha to this worker, on that you're over about halacha. So Chaim, we mentioned a few weeks ago that in Shukri D'Sura that if a Rebbe, if the industry, if it's known and understood that Rebbeim do not get paid on time, it could be that there would be no chiyuv al tovin. What? Okay. Tuition is a good question. And there are a few issues you have to deal with. The basic question is who do you, Bal Tovin is when you hire a worker. Or a student. When you're paying tuition, who are you hiring to do what? Let's deal with your son's Rebbe. Your son's Rebbe is teaching your child, and he's hired to teach your child, and he's getting paid. Did you hire your son's Rebbe directly? No. He was hired through by the executive director, or the Menaha, whatever it is. Now that means that on his salary, it's Aide Shliach. If you don't hire a worker directly, we saw, there's no Chiyuv Al Tovin. It has to be direct. But now the question is what about the executive director? The one who you sat down and negotiated your tuition with. Him, you're hiring him directly. So at least the chelik of your tuition that goes to his salary, on that amount, I would say, is clearly baltoin. But this brings up another issue, and that is, when you're paying tuition, you're buying a host of things. There are bedim, there are teachers. There's also a building. To a certain extent, you're getting the right to use classroom space. It's not a typical lease, but you are getting the right to be mishtamish of the karka. Seriously said, does have baltoin. So you're going to have to take the total bill, you're going to have to prorate it, which things are not subject to baltoin. The amount that you're paying for supplies, mekafu memkar, food, that would not be baltoin. Part of the bill would be subject to baltoin. The executive director, perhaps, again, if part of it is going to the skiris karka, and part of it will be baltoin, part of it won't. What you'll then be in a situation where, if you, based on what we said earlier today, if you pay half the bill and say this is for the executive director's salary and for the schiras, you'll resolve the problem and you'll get into the whole style we discussed earlier.
If you say that, baltoin means to apply to things that you have control over. You're hiring the worker, you're getting the access to the property. You have no control. You're just buying a service. You're buying some merchandise.
So again, it depends how you look at it. And when you're dealing if you're negotiating directly with the owner of the school, the person that runs the school, you're hiring him to provide a service. You're hiring him to do it. Now, for him to provide that service, there are many other things that he'll have to get, and there are many other things that you don't have control over. But that's true by every kazakh. Whenever you hire someone, and he's running a business, and he has workers that do the job for him, the bottom line is, you hired the owner, you hired the boss, and therefore, according to many places, you will have baltoin.
Well, I would not be
so quick to say that.
Let's say you hired them, let's say you purchased the membership to do this. Mm-hmm. Is that baltoin?
Again, so what's a membership? Are you now buying the right to use their equipment? If it's a rental, then it is. It is a hybrid case.
What is $100 in my account, $0 in my account,
zero.
$0 is $0. And now I don't have to buy any money, but I still collect money for myself to pay for shop, to pay for food.
Okay, Shabbos is there's a beer halacha. We get into the Shabbos. What comes first? Are you Shabbos or Baal Tovin? Maybe we'll get to it one of these weeks.
Reishman,
the beginning of Reishman Beis.
Why is the prohibition?
Again, the Rebbe is Ayide Shliach. But what about the executive director, the one who you negotiated your tuition with? Again, it depends on the setup. Assuming he's the owner of the school, so it could be you're hiring him directly. Again, it'll depend very much on the case. This is a gray area which is very dangerous to speak about in public. It's not fair. But it's true or not, I'm not going to comment on, but it's not fair. Correct. Massage in the ball. Massage in the ball, please.
So
there isn't even a massage in the balkoi. There is a machlokes when it applies, whether it's a halva and arvos or whether it applies. It's a machlokes where it applies. But again, it's very extreme. It means the person is dead. I mean, there we're discussing a question whether you can seize his dead, his cups, and you know, very, very basic things. There are very few people around that hit that point, that they only have, all they have left is their bed, and they don't own any other assets. No. Hilchos Kedima, between Kreuzim and Kainim, are wonderful in Hilchos Kedima. Here they are Chiyuvei Mamon. The fact that Am Yisrael doesn't mean that my tzia against the employer is secondary. Okay, an IRA is going to be a separate issue because if you withdraw it, I don't know how old you are, but you'll probably get hit with a penalty. So that will go to the first issue, how much of a loss do I have to suffer to pay a worker on time? Putting aside the penalty, let's say I have $100,000 in the bank, I have $300,000 of debt. As we mentioned before, workers come first. And therefore, other creditors that in halacha stand behind the workers won't change anything. And whatever you have, you're going to have to pay out. Correct. That was the Chavos Chaim. Even two workers, the one that I hired yesterday, that there's no Baal Tovin, will come after the one that I hired today.
The theory is not your money.
What?
You could borrow that money from one of these people. It's not your money.
Look around at debtors. See how they treat it. It's their money. They have a choy that they have to pay.
Does the entity of a corporation have the
Again, there's no halakha of Hilchos Corporation. If the corporation is run by a manager who's not the owner, then you'll run into the issues of shlichus and apotropos that we discussed last week. But assuming the owner and the manager are the same, the fact that he incorporates and his limited liability won't take away Baal Tovin, unless if a corporation goes bankrupt or has no assets, you may not have to take personal money out to pay the worker. And that will depend on the case. It's not for now. Yeah, it gets rid of Baal Tovin because it's mechila. He's telling you he doesn't mind, you can wait. It does mean if you wait for 30 days, you've lost an opportunity to be mekayem mitzvah of Yom Tikkun Tzara. But there's no issur involved if you do choose to wait. Yes. Again, there are some that tumble, but the pasuk is that you are moving kind of. There is a chiyuv that actually comes from the pasuk of Chisim Kru Memkar LaMisach. That if a person is going to do business, he should patronize Jewish vendors. That when you do business, it's better to buy in a Jewish-owned store, and that's another whole sugya. Once you're ready, you have a debt. I don't know of any specific halacha with kedima. Hafkoy salva is another whole issue that's certainly not for now. Thank you.
With the check,
that's for 2 weeks.
I'm going to leave it marking.